Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Another massive week on the morning show. Monday on the roundup, Matty Johns had his reaction to the State of Origin team selections.
There's a couple of wows already there. Your reactions of the big ones, Reece Walsh and the Hammer.
Those guys have earned their spot, Matty. My wow isn't about those guys getting a jersey. The Kalen situation shocks me. Because he has, every time he's played for Queensland, he's been outstanding. He's been a match winner. Look, I can understand from the angle of the HIAs, he had one again on the weekend, and I think they've gone a little gun shy due to that. I'm absolutely stunned. No Gagai. I'm stunned by it. There was a word going around he wasn't going to be selected, and I didn't believe it. Just simply, at times, Gags has been picked to play for Queensland where he hasn't been in top four, but every time he pulls that jersey on, he's been 9 or 9 and sometimes 10 out of 10, and I'm amazed they've left him out of the side.
Well, Cameron Smith was just on the breakfast show with Vossie and Trent Copeland this morning, and so too, of course, was Greg Alexander, and we'll dig through the New South Wales team as well, but this brings into question for the Queensland team a lot of the pick-and-stick philosophy, and that's going to be a lot of the blowback, if you like, from south of the border, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, unlike Queensland. Look, it's one of those things, Matty. We generally, and we'll talk about New South Wales in a second, but when it comes to shock selections, it's in hindsight that you actually draw the best conclusions, of course, because you get there and if all of a sudden the Hammer has a man of the match performance, you go, well, Billy's a genius. You know, if he struggles and New South Wales won, then, you know, people even north of the border be criticising Bill. And so I do take my hat off to Billy. I'm shocked, but I go, well, you know, he's willing to take risks. And he's picked sides before and put a few surprise inclusions on, and it's worked for him. But I can't get away from the fact that I'm shocked that Gagai hasn't been selected, and to a lesser extent, Kalen Ponga.
Queensland fans, let us know your thoughts on that team that has just been announced. 0457 736 736. You give us a call this morning. The best caller wins a Signet Boost Power Bank on 1300 01 1170. Billy Slater is scheduled to do his press conference in about 20 odd minutes, so 9:30. We'll tap into that, and Brad Fittler will face the media at about 11 o'clock this morning. So we will keep our eyes and ears on that and bring them to you straight away. So let's then have a look at the New South Wales team. Well, they don't name the team, do they? They name it in alphabetical order and they name a squad, but we can figure out the team from this one. So the team will be, or is likely to be, James Tedesco at fullback, so no surprises there. The wingers, Brian To'o and Josh Addo-Carr. So the Fox gets the start. That's important. Latrell Mitchell and Tom Trbojevic will be in the centres. Tommy bouncing back beautifully yesterday with 3 tries. He made a very compelling argument. Yes. Luai and Cleary, 6 and 7. Then the forward pack will read like this. Payne Haas comes in because there is no Jake Trbojevic. Junior Paolo and Appy Korosau, so no Damien Cook. Cameron Murray, Liam Martin and Isaiah Yeo. Then we've got Nico Hines, who's been named to make his debut. Tyson Frizzell, Hudson Young and Tevita Pangai Jr. Matty, what have you made
of this? Another wow. That's another wow. That really surprised me, Tevita Pangai. Apart from that, look, it is a good-looking side. There's no doubt about it. Look, what sits at the very core of this side is a key combination in Appy Korosau, Cleary, Yeo, and Luai. Particularly Korosau, Cleary, Yeo. They will operate in combination all night. By selecting that, It does a couple of things. Of course, you know, the understanding and whatnot, of course, but it actually makes it a smoother camp as far as preparation is concerned. You don't need to be out on the training field trying to bed down combinations. These guys know themselves, know each other very, very well and how they like to play. This is the thing about it. When you're going to select a side, in my opinion, you work out who is the most important player. And for New South Wales, it's Nathan Cleary. And so when you're sitting there going, okay, is it Cook or Coruscant, you go, righto, which one complements the most important player most? And it's Coruscant. That's why he's got the nod.
It must have been a tough call, though, to leave out Damien Cook. You're talking about somebody who's, I mean, the Bunnies are on top of the ladder, been in terrific form. You've got Appy Coruscant playing for the Tigers, who are just starting to fire some shots. And boy, didn't they? And we'll get to that a little bit later. But gee, that must have been a tough call. What about the call for Josh Adokar and obviously Campbell Graham missing out?
Yeah, that's a tough one. It really is. It's funny because last year when they chose to leave Josh Adokar out, he was fitter. He's just coming back from an ankle injury, and he was, you know, of course, because he was playing and getting out there, he was probably playing better, but. I think they've learnt their lessons from last series. It's the old saying, you know, there's nothing like speed, and that's what he gives the side. Tough call on Campbell Graham to miss out, and to a lesser extent, tough call on Stephen Crichton not to get a jersey. I thought his form in the last couple of weeks has been outstanding.
The debutants for New South Wales, so Tevita Pangai Jr., as we know, Hudson Young as well. Talk about reward for a consistent and solid and an origin-type performance to start the season, and Nicho Hynes as well.
Yeah, and Hudson Young, one thing about Hudson, like he can find a try when you need it, and he's got that really shuffling, fast feet, and that'll be a real weapon as the game starts to move into the second half with Origin. The big blokes start to wear out. Tevita, again, I suppose it's the late offloads. That's the wild card. That's the one when Freddie goes to the bench with Tevita, something will happen. There's no doubt about it. Now it's whether it's good or otherwise, something will happen. And once again, like. Yeah, I tip my hat to Freddie because what's the old Bryce Courtney quoted? When you're skating on thin ice, you may as well tap dance. And, he knows there's pressure on him in this series. Would have been very easy to make, you know, simple decisions or straightforward decisions. He's taken a risk with Tevita.
How much, when you look at the performances from yesterday in particular, the final two games of round 12 featured two key people, and Josh Adokar got the call straight after that Bulldogs match. So essentially one very solid performance plus years and years of performing got him home. But it was one solid performance. And the same with Tom Trbojevic. Was it, you reckon they were looking at, in Turbo's case in particular, do you reckon they were looking at, does he get through and we pick him? Or does he get through playing well and we pick him?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think they would have, look, unless he had a complete shocker, I think they would have picked Tom. As far as the last showing, how important is it? Well, it's a bit like a world title boxing fight. Is they say you got to win the last round when it's tight. You just got the last thing that the judges see. That's what sticks in their mind when they're going in a split decision. Well, that's the case with selections and football teams as well. Those last couple of showings, they're crucial. And that's what's put Coruscant ahead of Cook in that instance.
Any other New South Welshmen, do you think, or Queenslanders? I mean, the big ones are the ones that you've touched on for the Maroons, Ponga and Gagai in particular. We know that Felice Kaufusi is going to be out anyway because of suspension. But any other big names, do you reckon, that have missed out completely?
Nothing that really comes to mind straight away. My head's still trying to get around no Gagai. I suppose from New South Wales perspective, I'm chuffed, but I reckon in the last 10 years, Gagai is one of my favourite players. I've got just so much admiration for him, how he turns up at Origin and his performances, two men of the series performances from the wing. So that gives you an idea of how big the call is.
There's a text on the line, 0457 736 736. What the bloody hell happened to picking Olakau'atu? What more did he need to do? Daniel says Cameron Murray has made so many mistakes in past origins and he still gets picked. I mean, I think Cameron Murray's position, I don't think is up for question, but Hamali Olakau'atu, the way he started the season.
Yes.
And I just heard Brandy and Vossi reference this. You know, once the talk starts, it's very hard to pull back, isn't it? It doesn't matter what selectors are thinking, but once the talk starts, it almost becomes fact, and it almost became fact that Olakau'atu was going to get in this conversation.
Yeah, it was great showing yesterday from Manly. I think what hurt Olakau'atu was that, you know, that bad stretch, you know, where they lost, what did they lose, Matty? You know, four in a row, something like that. I think that's what hurt
three in
him.
A row,
put the other, three in a row, put the other guys ahead.
All right, so that last ditch effort, or the last couple of weeks in particular. So there you go. We've got both New South Wales and Queensland sides now officially dropping this morning, with Queensland just naming theirs 15 minutes ago. Billy Slater will front the press in about 15 minutes, so we'll cover that for you right here on SEM. We've got our Monday conundrum coming in, the snap judgments, of course, Coach of the Year points, your best performer of the weekend as well, and news around Manly this morning. Jacob Arthur is going to be released from Parramatta and will be reportedly going to the Seagulls immediately. So an immediate swap there. Your instant reaction off that?
Yeah, that's well, they were looking at Kyle, and so they need some depth in that half position. That slight surprise, but yeah, I can understand why.
Tuesday, we touch base with Seagulls coach Anthony Seibold on their new signing, Jacob Arthur, and also the fitness and form of Josh Schuster. The Manly Seagulls coming off a big win over the Canberra Raiders on Sunday night, so they're just outside the top eight, 5-5 for the season with the one draw. News that Jacob Arthur is heading to the club, is already headed to the club, so let's get more on that with their head coach Anthony Seibold, who joins us. G'day, Seibs.
G'day, Matty. Thanks for having us, mate.
No, thanks for your time as well. Appreciate it's a bit busy this morning. First up, Jacob Arthur. So he's already there. We've seen photos of him in the team gear. How did this come about, and why do you need Jacob Arthur there?
Well, it came about pretty quickly, actually, on Saturday. Peter Jamel, who is our recruitment manager, he's known Jake for a number of years. I think Jake's manager reached out to Pete just to see whether there was an opportunity here. And we had a spare spot there, player number 30 in our squad for this year. I just think Jake adds some depth to our halves, in particular with, you know, Daly Cherry Evans, going into Origin over this next sort of 6 week period. And I think also Jake's got some utility or versatility value as well. But he's a really good young man. It's been, you know, pretty tough, I suppose, at Parramatta. He's been criticised or scrutinised quite a bit. So we just want him to come here, compete hard for a position, come with a smile on his face and enjoy his footy.
So how did he arrive? I just played an interview that I did with Bryce Cartwright, and he spoke about how Jake turned up to training and informed the Parramatta Eels that he was leaving. What about when he arrived down there at Brookvale?
Yeah, look, he came across yesterday. We got back late from Canberra after the Sunday afternoon game, so the players had a recovery day yesterday. So he came in. I met with him face to face for the first time. So he's a good young man. And this morning he did the off feet session with the guys who didn't play too long in our first grade and reserve grade sides over the weekend. So he's had a pretty tough introduction this morning, Matty, and we've got a team review at 11 o'clock, so he'll come into that. And again, you know, we'll name him in the 22 this week, but we'll just sort of see whether he plays first grade or reserve grade. But he's a quality young guy. He's been playing really good footy in New South Wales Cup, and I think, he adds great depth to our ball-playing capabilities.
So in what other capacity, Seibs, do you see Jake Arthur playing? Obviously there to back up and cover that halves role and give you the depths, but you see other capacities in him?
Yeah, I think Jake can be a ball playing sort of, whether it's an edge back row, ball playing 13, off the bench at different periods of time if he's not starting, in the halves. So yeah, I see he brings some versatility. Look, one thing about him, just talking to him yesterday and then obviously doing some homework on Jake over the weekend. It's just, he's got a really good footy brain. He's a really good organiser. He gets teams around the park really well. So, like I said, we haven't brought Jake to come in and you know, do anything other than compete hard for a position. And, you know, I'm sure he'll do that.
The other Jake Trbojevic, so had to pull out of State of Origin consideration. Where's he at with his calf injury?
Yeah, so there's a slight aggravation of his previous calf injury. So there's a small bleed there in the previous tear. So it's quite minor, but the thing is, you know, that is a little concerning, is that he's re-aggravated it. So I think New South Wales wanted to make a decision on, you know, bringing in fully fit 19 players. And Jake had a scan yesterday. It looks as though he'll be out for a couple of weeks. But again, it's not too serious. We have a bye after this week, but he certainly won't be named for us this week.
Siebes, the performance of Tom on the weekend was absolutely outstanding. He did everything that everybody knows that he can do, and obviously that the New South Wales boys were looking at as well. Brad and Brandy would have been watching closely. When the game was wrapped up, how tempted were you from the coach's box to put Tom in cotton wool?
Oh, look, it wasn't a consideration. I'm going to say, Matt, he just was really enjoying himself. Like, you know, obviously, you know, we're able to score, you know, 42 points or whatever it was in the end, but he was enjoying himself. He was competing really hard. Like, from a physical point of view, he looked really good. It was great to see, you know, guys like him and Jason Saab and Ruben Garrick in some space. So, yeah, there wasn't any thought to bring him off. I think, you know, it would have done him the world of good. I know it's done him the world of good from a confidence point of view. He goes into the Blues camp with really quality players. And, you know, we feel as though he's got himself into a position where he goes in there with great confidence.
How did you unlock the confidence? If the body was a little bit better than what we were thinking, than what we were seeing, and Tom has spoken yesterday about that, clearly it became some sort of confidence issue, if that's the right word. So what did you do as a club and as a coach to get into Tom's mind and unlock the confidence and give him the freedom?
Well, I think, you know, Matty, having some quality players back in the park. I mean, Josh Schuster, Jake Trbojevic certainly help us from an attacking point of view. You know, if you look at what we've only, our starting spine, Matt, has only, you know, been together in three games. So, you know, we scored 34 points against Parramatta, 42 points in the weekend, I think 20-something points against the Tigers. They're the only three games where our starting first-choice spine have all played together. And I think in the Parramatta game and the Canberra game, you know, Josh Schuster, you know, his ball-playing ability and Jake's ball-playing ability have created space for Tom. You know, over the last couple of weeks, he's tried really hard. Like physically, all the GPS data at training and games, all his statistics from, you know, getting his hands on the footy and all those different things that you look at as a coach, he's been doing. He just hasn't had, I suppose, the time and space that he's probably had, you know, I suppose, in the really good games he's played this year. So it was great to see him up and about. And I think, you know, some quality personnel back, you know, helped unlock Tom as well.
And Josh Schuster, has he turned the corner that you were hoping he'd turn?
Yeah, look, I gave Josh a challenge after the West Tigers game. And, you know, clearly he'd been hampered by a calf and a quad and he wasn't able to do the running loads that, you know, he would normally do and should do. And what the last sort of month has done was give him an opportunity to not only just, you know, rehabilitate the quad, but recondition his body. And, you know, he's lost 6.5 kilos or over 6.5 kilos since that West Tigers game. So you can just see the his ability to get around the park on the weekend and, you know, ball play and dig into the line and do all the things that he does really well. He was able to do it so much more effectively and efficiently because he's got himself in really good shape. And he did that over the preseason. He did a hell of a job over the preseason, but then the calf and the quad you know, disabled him to be able to do the running loads that he needs. And, you know, really, you know, happy with regards to his attitude and his, you know, his aptitude for work over the last period of time. And I thought it showed him again.
So you got Newcastle this weekend, and we know two things. Kalen Ponga and Dane Gagai are going to be there. They're not going to be part of that Queensland Maroon side. So I don't know how to ask you this question. As a born and bred Queenslander, how did you see that? And as a Seagulls coach who now has them on the other side, how did you see that?
Yeah, look, you know, Kalen Ponga and Dane Gagai have done an outstanding job, particularly Dane, you know, for a number of years now. And I think, you know, KP was really good last year. And we probably thought that be in the Queensland squad. There's no doubt about that. You know, potentially Daniel or Jacobs, I see in the Blues squad as well. But look, they're really good players, and they'll be determined to put in a good performance at home. And obviously we've got a number of players missing. Not only through Origin, but I think we've got six players, who've been in our 17 who are out injured at the moment. But what it's done, even on the weekend, Matty, I just thought the opportunity that some guys were given, they took, and that's what we want. We want a really committed preparation, and we know that they're going to be a strong side at home, particularly with Cale and Dane Gagai and the Saifidi brothers in that team. So it's a good challenge for us, but we've got to buy the other side of this, mate. So we want to finish really strongly. And then that's the first half of the year done.
And, Siebs, can I just ask you a broader question before we let you go on the world of coaching? It is very, very topical. Obviously, with Anthony Griffin losing his job there at St George Illawarra this morning, as you just heard when you jumped on the phone down in AFL land, Damien Hardwick has decided to step away. It's burnout factor and the pressure of coaching. So can I just take away the whole professional side of this, the whole job factor, and put it to a personalised factor about the burnout issue and about the pressure issue, because you've lived and breathed this firsthand. Is this a snapshot of, you think, of the modern pressures on coaching, or do you think that there are more outlets now and more understanding if a coach says, okay, I've had enough, I can't do this anymore, I need time away, because it seems to be happening more rather than less?
Yeah, look, it's really interesting when I saw Alison Clarkson, step away last week from North Melbourne, and then obviously hearing the news about Damien Hardwick this morning. It's a really challenging gig because the spotlight as the head coach, particularly in the AFL and the NRL in Australian sport, is heavily on you. And I've been through probably some really good periods and some challenging periods. And sometimes you do need some time out. For me, it was walking away from the Broncos and actually doing some other things. I was able to work with SEN and do some work with you last year. But, to be able to sort of coach 15 tests with Eddie over sort of a two-year period with the England rugby team was great for me as well. A different challenge, different code. So it's different for different people, but it's a tough gig, mate. It's a tough gig. You're up and down with regards to the wins and the losses, and you get out of bed yesterday morning after a good performance and a good win. But, after losing three in a row the previous Monday, you're sort of feeling a bit sorry for yourself. So you need good people around you, and you need mentors and people that you can talk to. And, thankfully I've got that. Particularly Eddie Jones has been very good to me. We still sort of talk or be in contact, a couple of times a week. And you need people to run ideas off, and you need good people around you on your staff, but also you need to put things in perspective, right? So, it's a challenging gig, mate.
Yeah, and I just wonder, what that means for upcoming coaches and incoming coaches to go, well, the old adage, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen, kind of rings true, because you're in a tough job and you're in a high-pressure job and you get paid very well. But from what you've just said there, it really seems important that you've got other outlets and other mentors and other people around you, and clubs need to understand that as well.
Yeah, definitely, I think. The more support we can give head coaches or senior coaches in AFL, NRL, is really impactful, I think. And that's one of the things I suppose I've learned over the last couple of years, And like I said, having good mentors or having perspective on things, look, at the end of the day, it's a game of footy, right? And sometimes the scoreboard loves you and sometimes it doesn't. Like my workload or my effort to prepare the team didn't change last week to when we played the Broncos or when we got beat by Cronulla here at Brookings. It's the same every single week, So, and as I said, sometimes the performances of the scoreboard does come your way, but it's a challenging gig, but it's one that I really enjoy. I feel really energetic and energised at the moment. We've got a great challenge on our hands, as you said before. We're sort of 50-50 this year, and we're right in the race like every team at the moment. It's probably never been so close or competitive the NRL, but you certainly need perspective and people to lean on during some challenging times. There's no doubt about that.
All right, you've got a team meeting to get to in 15 minutes, so better let you go. Appreciate your time this morning.
Good on you, mate. Great to chat. Thank you.
Origin Insights as well with Blues legend Andrew Ettinghausen. New South Wales Blues legend is on the phone right now. Rugby league legend, in fact, across the board, Andrew Ettinghausen. G'day, ET.
How you doing?
Good, thanks, mate. It's great to catch up with you, and thanks for your time this morning. I've just been digging back through some of your origin history and the names that pop out and the dates and the venues and all that kind of stuff. Can you believe that it was 36 years ago, ET, that you made your origin debut?
I know, it's incredible, really. And, you know, at that time, I remember driving home, I think we were playing Newcastle, and we just had the radio on in the car. I was with just my wife, and we're driving home, and then the teams got announced, and you just got virtually, that was how you found out that you were actually in the team. So it was a pretty big occasion, but as you say, a long time ago, and I was very fortunate to play, I don't know, probably a dozen years in State of Origin with a whole mixture of incredible players over that time.
I want to talk to you about coaches in just a sec, but when you talk about those days of finding out on the radio, and I remember, mate, as a young reporter back in the Sports Tonight days, I was sitting with Jason Smith at the time and sitting in his car listening to the radio to find out whether he made it or not, and he didn't. And it was one of those weird ones where that's the way that it used to be. So did you have any contact with your coach? Did you have any phone call from selectors or anything? Or did you just find out and turn up the next day?
Yeah, pretty much just found out and turned up the next day. It was really, the communication, I guess these days you've got mobile phones and people are onto that as quick as they can. You know, as soon as there's any hot news, well, you find out immediately. But back then it was, I was in the car on the way home from Newcastle. So wow. I was able to celebrate with my wife, and that was about it.
Yeah, amazing. I just ran through for our listeners, mate, the teams of that first match that you made your debut in, and obviously Sparkles with that try at the end of it. But, you know, the teams that you look around in, the names that you look around in the team that you were in particular and on the other side, featured some of the great names of rugby league, some of the great names of your era, and some of the great names of State of Origin as well. What do you remember the most when you went out for that match at Suncorp Stadium, or Lang Park as it was known back then?
Yeah, well, it was Lang Park. It was an amazing, amazing time. You come down past the Caxton Hotel and the bus is pulled up by the police escort, and next all these crazy fans come out of the pub and they're shaking the bus. And we had Jimmy Jack, Gary Jack, who was playing fullback. He's hopped up and said, "See, they hate us up here." You know, it was we're only 100 metres from the ground. And I can remember going in, and, you know, it was the old Timbers grandstand. We came out to watch one of the earlier games. We're just sitting there, and these crazy Blues supporters had their jumpers on, and they were trying to run around the hill section, and they were just getting pounded by bottles of beer. You know, it was pretty wild up there at those times. And just an incredible atmosphere amongst the fans. It was all one way. Everyone basically had a maroon jersey on, and you were certainly the underdog. And it was just a miracle that game. I swapped positions for a moment with Mark McGaw, who was my centre partner, and I was playing on the wing. I went into the centres, and we worked down the blind side. And, we were able to Mark was able to dive out and score a try that actually, I don't think anyone could believe. And we actually came back and won that match on the buzzer. So it's always good to win your first match. That's one real positive. It means you're going to be there for some time to come.
Well, and the other quirky thing about that, so you win your first match, like you say, which is a great way to start. You ended up losing game three of that series. Then they had the exhibition match over there in the States, which New South Wales won. But then you went on, you're on the back foot, 88 and 89, five losses in a row from game three the three games rather in 88 and the two games that you played in 89. So you must have got a heck of a reality check at that time.
Yeah, absolutely. When I started in 87, it was a real time for the old guys were retiring. So we had Peter Sterling and Brett Kenny, Wayne Pearce, all those guys who, you know, were such a big part of the early 80s and, part of, the Eels premiership teams. And, you know, we had magnificent players. But then it was this new brigade coming through. So, you know, it took a few years before, you know, the Laurie Daly's and those sort of guys all came on board. And, it wasn't until the early 90s that we started to get back on track again and the Blues started to take control.
What about coaches? You go through the amount of coaches that were in charge of New South Wales for the long time that you were there. You were there for over a decade. Ron Willey was there first up. You were coached in Origin by Johnny Peard, Jack Gibson, of course, Tim Sheens, Phil Gould, and Tommy Radonikis was there when you played your last game in 1998. Gee, that's a really broad spectrum of different coaching styles and different personalities, mate.
Oh, 100%. Everyone was completely different and, you know, coming off different rugby league histories, I suppose, being coaches in their own right at club level. But, you know, when it comes to the best State of Origin coach, I think there was no other like Gus Gould. Phil was just amazing. He was able to motivate the team so that you're almost ready to run through a brick wall the day before the game. You know, you were just up for it. And, you know, he had a different theme for every match. And, you know, they're long-winded stories, but I can tell you that, you know, he put a lot of thought into the preparation for every team. And we had enormous success. I think, you know, for example, in one year, I think it was in 96, we'd all come back together after the Super League. And, you know, we had a couple of guys injured going into the final match. And it was almost like they could hardly, you know, limp around the field. But Gus said, hey, listen, we're just going to stick to this team. You know, there's even though, you know, we've got guys who are injured, we're just going to run them out in there anyway. And so we went through and we actually won the series 3-0. So, yeah. You know, that was it was all the build up. And, you know, State of Origin is all about emotion, bringing those players who play high level at in their first grade teams to a level that they've never really been able to reach before. And, you know, it's the coaching of guys like Gus Gould over that 6-week period. You know, he was outstanding over those years.
It was a 1-point win that final game 3. You scored a try that night and Freddie kicked the field goal, make it 15 points to 14 in the end. Did you learn to hate Queensland? I mean, you know, remember the marketing, ET? It was state versus state, mate versus mate, and hate versus hate. Did you have to learn to hate Queensland, or was it just something that developed in you the closer you got to representing your state?
Well, I guess State of Origin was always, you know, everyone treated as an enormous series, which it is. But realistically, in everyone's eyes, you know, if you're a player, you want to play for Australia. And that was my total goal throughout the whole time I was playing State of Origin, that I had to be in that top squad. And so that meant, you know, the great players of Queensland up against the great players of New South Wales. And in the end, you're fighting for a spot. Fortunately for me, I was able to play fullback, centre and wing. And so, you know, I wasn't left out of too many Australian teams. So that was fantastic. And, you know, the big years of, say, 1990, 1994, when... you know, both teams were just so close. You know, we'd have the games were 14-12, those sort of matches, right down to the wire. But the Queensland sides were just, you know, an abundance of great stars, and the Blues team were able to match it. And then you'd go on a kangaroo tour. That was the whole, you know, the holest bowlers of everything. You just wanted to be in that green and gold jersey, and on tour you wanted to play in all the tests. So, you know, there was a lot at stake in those State of Origins. Mate against mate, it sure was, but you really had to, you know, make sure you were at the top of your game if you wanted to be able to break into that Aussie team and keep that position.
Yeah, and different times now, obviously, but, you know, you remember City Country was so important for State of Origin, and State of Origin was so important for Australian selection, like you say, and you represented your country, what, 25 times, and also a few times in the Super League era as well. Who excites you these days when you watch rugby league, Andrew?
I guess the current players, you know, I love the way that the Penrith Panthers play, and I'm really loving the way the Sharks are playing at the moment. You know, really incredible, you know, skill, attacking skill. It's amazing. I think the wingers these days are all scoring sort of almost around 20 tries a season. So, you know, they're eating away at all the records of the players in the past. But it's amazing to see the great tries that they're scoring. But I think, you know, when I look at players these days, James Tedesco just really stands out as one of those, you know, amazing amazing players, you know, at the top of the tree. Latrell Mitchell, any team that has Latrell in it is going to, you know, be very, very close to winning. And obviously, you know, the combination with this New South Wales back line with Tommy Turbo in it for this year's State of Origin will be fantastic. You know, right across the board, we've got magnificent players, but, you know, and obviously I'm really excited that Nicho Hynes has been able to make this this squad as well.
Yeah, and if it's not footy for you, mate, it's fishing, isn't it? And I mentioned to my listeners before we got you on the phone the Fish of Origin series that you do for Anaconda, which is fantastic. So you're the referee, dead set. I mean, you can't give too much away because the first episode's on Saturday. But out of the characters that are out there, Sammy Thaiday, Gordy Tallis, Hein Marsh and Luke Lewis, who's the worst on the water?
Well, I can tell you now that none of them tie their own knots, so they're not, you know, and I reckon until you tie your own knots, you're not really a fisherman. But anyway, the boys had a hell of a lot of fun on this one. We're up in Cairns only a few weeks ago now, so that feels very fresh in our mind, but loads of fun. Poor old Lukey Lewis got a bit seasick when we went out wide chasing some mackerel and things. So, you know, he stuck in it. He was... he did the best he possibly could out there, even though he was sort of hindered by the dreaded old seasickness. But they're all very similar, I guess, in talent. It's just who brings that bit of a luck to the day, and you know who's willing to sort of keep that concentration going for the whole day. And you know, it was really good because they're both representing their states in this competition, and nobody wants to lose. So they are trying by hook or by crook every single way they can to win the matches and win the series.
Good on you, mate. It's out this Saturday, anaconda.com or through Foxtel as well. So Fish of Origin first up and then State of Origin down there at the Adelaide Oval. It's been great to catch up and chat with you this morning. Could do it all morning. Such an important part that you played, such a great part that you played over your playing career in Origin at all levels, in fact. And thanks for your time this morning, mate. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, great to talk to you, Matt. Thanks, mate.
And on Thursday, the passing of Tina Turner. Benny Elias joined us to talk about the marketing campaign that changed rugby league forever. Ben Elias, all curly hair and all hairy chested in this big promotion of rugby league. And I'm pleased to say that the Tigers legend Benny is on the line. Good morning, Ben.
Oh, good morning, Matty. What an introduction. And you couldn't have said it better, mate. What a phenomenon she was. She turned the place upside down and really introduced the women to rugby league and the children, where in the commercial you would see that the women, as you said, would see the blokes with their shirts off, and you'd see the family man with his, you know, holding the kids' hands going to the footy. It was spectacular, and it was a new era for rugby league, because back then it was just really the blue singlet worker. It was the bloke. It was the man in the pub sort of portfolio that was watching the game. And all of a sudden, overnight, it became a phenomenon with women and children with that commercial. What you get is what you see.
Like I said, they knew that the audience was there, but until then, Benny, they didn't know how to tap into it. And you're dead right. It not only took the shirts off you guys, but it also showed the softer side of a tough game. If you go back and have a look at those ads, I mean, there's Crusher Cleal picking up his kid, and you know, everyone's giving each other a hug and a kiss and a cuddle and having a laugh and G-ing each other up in the dressing rooms. But the impact on the players is something that I wanted to speak to you about. Not only are you the first face that you see in that campaign, you're in fact, you see you twice in the first 20 seconds, mate. How on earth did you wedge your way into that campaign?
It was sheer luck. Nothing more than that, I can assure you. It was extraordinary. And I had the fortunate pleasure of meeting Tina Turner in the commercial. When she came over here physically to be part of the commercial, they never let us know. We were at the Metropolis at North Sydney. There was an old nightclub back then, and it was a nightclub scene where she just came out of the blue, walked into the place, did what she had to do for 20 minutes, and she left like a female rock star that she was. And we just thought, my God, we all just met Tina Turner. And we thought it was unbelievable just being part of that superstar, international superstar performance. The girl walked in with a short skirt on, and we thought, my God, that was Tina Turner. And she left as quick as she came.
So what happened straight after that hit the airwaves, Ben? What happened to the players? Because you guys were big names, you were stars in your own world, but this took you outside of that world. Like you say, it opened up the female perspective of rugby league. It introduced an entirely different audience to the game. What impact did it have to you when you went out there on the street?
Well, I mean, you're right. We all of a sudden we became stars. Not in the history of playing rugby league, for any of those players at the time, did they have any affiliation whatsoever with a commercial, you know, especially with a song with a woman who was an international legend. We all of a sudden became part of that history in the making, and to be part of that was just, you know, it was off the dial. And you know, people in Melbourne and out Western Australia, all around Australia, started to really fall in love with the game of rugby league because it was an international song, and in that international song, it was just sort of, it just fit the mold. It just fit it so well for rugby league that the manager, Roger Davies, I think, rang up John Quayle, who was the CEO at the time, and said, "Mate, you got to get over here. This song is for rugby league." And, you know, the rest is history. He flew over, came back, and we did the commercial, and you thought it couldn't get any better. And then 12 months later, they introduced Simply the Best, which was just an incredible song when it comes to listening to the words and being affiliated with rugby league. It was super. It was super, super, super. And it was just a pleasure to be part of it.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about 12 months down the track, because after what happened with the first encounter there in 1989 with What You Get Is What You See, you must have thought, well, it can't get any bigger. So did all of a sudden people start to jostle for positions to be in the next ad campaign when it started to come around?
Mate, I remember clearly when the letter came out and they invited you to be part of the commercial, you had to sign, you know, NDAs and all the other stuff that goes with being part of a secretive campaign. It became, you know, players were absolutely ticked off because they weren't involved or asked to come into the commercial. And mate, all the blokes did it for nothing. It was, no one got paid. It was just one of those things of just that you could wear on your sleeve, that you're part of the Tina Turner commercial, which became, as we all know now, probably the greatest marketing genius of any rugby league stroke music promotion in the world. And we were lucky to have that here on our doorstep here in Sydney, and the chance to be part of it and shouldering up with Tina Turner was extraordinary.
I was going back this morning, Ben, through some of the old vision and some of the... I mean, I remember that campaign like it was yesterday. It smacked me right between the eyes. I'd just finished up with school. I was starting to work and I was reporting on the game at the time, and I remember the impact that it had. And I, you know, these players of your era were my stars anyway, but I'm thinking of guys like Brett Kenny now, you know, standing there in a singlet being paraded as a sex symbol. Your old mate, Blocky, he features in the very first ad, walking off with his smile. Yeah. I mean, did you notice from any of the players out there, hang on a second, some of these guys think they're actually a little bit better than what they should be thinking?
Well, they made them like superstars. And look, no one in their wildest dreams would have thought, Matty, for one minute this is going to be extraordinarily just a mecca sort of campaign, and it's exactly what it is. And when we're talking about it now in 2023, about, you know, the commercial in 88, 89, and back in the late 80s, where this woman came so oblivious to what rugby league was all about, and she came, sang a song, rubbed shoulders with a few buff heads here in Australia, and she went back, and nor did she, I don't think, would have believed how exciting and what a phenomena it was to be part of that commercial and campaign. And, you know, it certainly did rugby league just the most amazing thing for the game itself with its supporters. The new supporters of children and women in particular, it just went from strength to strength from there on, and the rest is history.
We're back Monday morning with the Roundup.